the so good to see some Michigan fans in the house right now, you know. You've chosen the better part. That's an eternal investment right there. I don't know if Michigan State is playing right now. I'm aware they beat a high school team or something last week. Okay, sorry. All right, enough about sports. We're going to talk about the cross, because what we see in the second reading here is we see that there's a couple of sins that kind of rise to the top a little bit more, and they need to be defeated in our lives. Okay, so he says, "Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder, there's every foul practice." And then he talks about good things: wisdom, peace, being peaceable, gentle, and compliant, being full of mercy. All right, going back into the negative things, where do the conflicts come? Where does the passion come? You covet, but you do not possess. You kill and envy, but cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. Okay, so this jealousy and this envy, this kind of coveting, this sadness at the success of others, the blessings of others, I don't want that for them. That's envy. I want that for me, and I wish they didn't have it. Jealousy is, I want something that somebody else has, and I'm not grateful, perhaps, for what I have. There is this there's this clear theme here of that this is what we're battling. These are some of the things that we're battling. So one of the deadly sins is envy. And as you know, there are seven. And I think that it would be helpful for us to think that each of the deadly sins is defeated by embracing the cross. So Jesus, as he embraced the cross, think about how it'd be helpful to think about how did Jesus defeat each of the deadly sins by embracing the cross. Pride is very easy to see. Well, how did he defeat pride? Well, if you're embracing the cross, everything really is a humiliation and a false accusation on the physical level, in the judicial level of he's being punished as a criminal, and on the spiritual level of he's being accused by the evil one. Then, you could go through each and every one, gluttony or wrath, or and you could say each one of these is going to have some connection to the others. I like to say that the deadly sins, if you let one of them in, they won't come alone. They'll bring their friends. If you let sloth in, guess what? You're definitely going to get a visit from gluttony and lust as well. You don't just get sloth. It's three for one. Okay? How do we know how these things, we can let them into our lives. How do we defeat them? By embracing the cross. Now, I'm better at talking about this than I am at doing it, but I think that we need to talk about it, we need to hear about it, we need to think about it, because so many times I fail a test because I forgot that I was being tested, or I didn't know this was what the test was on today. And I don't know always whether to attribute that to my lack of a good holy hour in the morning, or if I did a holy hour, I don't know what happened. Did I not abide with the Lord? Are there sometimes the Lord just wants us to get tested and not realize that's what's, it's like a pop quiz. Pop quiz, the test today is on how humble you are. And oh shoot, I was studying for the boldness exam, Lord. I was studying for the preaching the gospel boldly, but the test was on humility. Those aren't mutually exclusive. I think that it's important that we think about these things often, that we're reading through Scripture and we're thinking about, okay, what is the letter, St. James's letter here is talking about these things. All right, I'm going to be tested in the area of envy. How does envy get destroyed by me embracing the cross? Jesus, instead of wanting what other people have, not wanting blessings for them, wanting to switch places with them, literally, Jesus' cross defeats envy because he is in the place where they all should be, where we all should be. Envy is saying, you've been blessed. You've succeeded. You've won. You've gotten. And I wish you didn't have that, and I did. Jesus' cross is saying, you're going to be blessed, and I'm going to take the curse so that you can be blessed. It's the exact opposite of envy. It's just the complete reverse. Instead of, I want what you have and we should switch places, Jesus could have done that. All he would have had to do is not be crucified, not die for our sins, not show us mercy, and then we would have, all of the consequences of our sins would have hit us. But what he's doing on the cross, it's the reverse of envy. I'm going to take this on so that you can be blessed, so that you can actually have, I'm going to take on your sin and be accused of all of it, so that you can have the situation that I have, which is Jesus' situation. What's that? His complete unity with the Father, his innocence and righteousness. There's no burden of guilt. There's no burden of sin. There's no death. There's no separation from God. There's heaven. There's eternal life. There's joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, unity and harmony in relationships. And Jesus is saying, actually, I'm willing to allow my situation to be what you, all of humanity, collectively deserves, and every negative thing, so that I can reverse their situation and they can have what I have. There are times in our lives where, in the spiritual realm, when we're able to embrace the cross, when we're able to say, well, you know, there's some level of suffering here that I'm going to endure. And there might be somebody, and this is, so I say these are connected. There might be someone I need to forgive. And Jesus, of course, can't do any of this. The cross doesn't mean anything without forgiveness. It's meaningless if Jesus doesn't say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? It's a heart of mercy. It's the complete opposite of jealousy, envy, and coveting. Well, you might say, well, Jesus is God. I'm not God. But you have eternal life. You have God dwelling in you and walking with you. He's promised himself to you. He's made a covenant and put you in a covenant relationship with himself. And everything that he has is yours. I believe we cannot love first. We must receive God's love, and then we can love. So how do we do this with envy? We realize, instead of seeing someone else's giftedness, success, and blessings and saying, or just jealousy, even saying like, oh, I wish I had that, for you to realize what you do have in Christ, there's scripture that says, no good thing does God withhold from his beloved. You have and are being prepared to receive everything. We don't receive all of it all at once. And ultimately, it's in heaven that's fully received. And it takes faith to say, yes, that's true, that's true. But you're not lacking in anything if you're in Christ. You're going to have everything that you need. And the Lord is going to test our faith in that at times, but it's true. And it's going to be proven true if you're willing to trust the Lord in that. He will prove himself to you. And so you also can say, you can kind of come at that temptation to envy from a position of strength, or maybe even you would think about it like this. I can come at the temptation to envy or jealousy or coveting from a position of wealth. Not in a prideful way, but just knowing in Jesus, I have everything. You ever look at somebody's life and say, I wish I could just go on a cruise every time? You know, that person, I wish they go on vacation. I wish I could do that. Or I wish, do you know, if you're in Christ, you are going to have so many vacations in heaven. I wish I could do this thing. Maybe in this life that's going to be fulfilled. Maybe it's not. You know where it is going to be fulfilled? God is the fulfillment of all desire. Our union with him in heaven is going to leave us lacking nothing. Even now, what we really need now, we are not going to be lacking what we need in order to love him and serve one another now. And so sometimes our envy might be about a spiritual thing or a material thing. It doesn't matter. You have everything if you are in Christ. And you can actually embrace, some crosses will come our way. Like I said last week, some of them we embrace. They're going to happen to us either way, so we can either embrace them or complain about them. Or we can choose to set them down. Some crosses we can set them down or pick them up. When we do that, when we pick them up and embrace them, those crosses, and offering them up for sometimes the person that you maybe were tempted to jealousy toward or even envy, it actually defeats envy in your heart. Because you're uniting yourself to the one who did the opposite. And his cross, he did the opposite of envy. And he invites us as well to do that. And the greatness that's talked about in this gospel reading, it has nothing to do with how the world sees you. You know, greatness, what is true greatness? It's being the servant of all. It's being willing to embrace our cross in those acts of service. And in that way of saying, Lord, just like Jesus did, Lord, I want to, like, that person, I want them to have it as good as I have it. When we realize what we have in Christ, we're going to say, not I wish I had their situation. No, we're going to say, I wish they had my situation. And I don't begrudge them any good gift because I've been so blessed myself.
Together, let us